What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Crypto Creamers, and today I'm with another fellow Crypto Creamer. What's up, Isaac? How you doing, bro?
Hey, how's it going, Nico?
Dude, I haven't seen you in forever, man. So Isaac was actually the ones that designed our Crypto Creamer logo and our hats, just so you guys
know. Yeah, I actually do have the hat with me.
Oh, really? Bye. Show it off. Put it closer to the camera. Say something.
Oh, Creamers.
Rep. So, yeah. So that's cool, man. So
maybe we have to make some more.
I know, right? So, and sell that merch. So, dude, tell me, how's your quarantine been? Do you have any quarantine stories for me?
Just self-improvement kind of stuff, picking up little things like breathing exercises, learning a little Japanese. But yeah, I mean, when you're working in software, there's not much of a difference other than I can't really travel as much. That was something that I was doing the last year and a half. So just been chilling here in Miami.
Japanese, that's really interesting. Why Japanese, bro? You see how smart the Crypto Creamers are, bro? We got someone learning Japanese in here.
Yeah, that was the last country that I traveled to. I was there for a couple months. So I don't know, I just thought it was interesting and just picked it up from there. But I want to learn a lot of languages, so this is just the one I'm learning this year, and hopefully every year I'll pick up a new one.
Awesome. So how many languages do you know at the moment?
Well, I want to say like six, but 4 to 5 of them are at a very elementary level. So
name them out for me. Name them out.
Got,
bullet points.
I got English, Spanish, Hebrew, a little Italian, but I'm pretty fuzzy on that one now. I have Vietnamese because I spent 5 months in Vietnam. I got Japanese now, so that's six. And I know little phrases in Burmese, little phrases in Malay. So just picking little things up as I travel.
So how do you say go fuck yourself in Vietnamese?
Well, I don't know if I want to say it here, but you can say like du ma, which is like go F your mother kind of.
Oh, shit. And I'm sure that gets people really riled up over there, huh?
Yeah, it's funny. But they tell me I shouldn't say that. So I kind of just do it when I'm joking around with friends and things like that.
Okay, well, I'm sure none of our audience knows any Vietnamese, so I'm sure no one will get insulted. But anyways, man, so, dude, I know that you work at 10 Factory, and 10 Factory is associated with the Crypto Creamers. So I kind of just want you to explain to our audience what 10 Factory is, what it does. What's your typical day life? What are you working on? Is it anything? Are you working on anything Bitcoin related? What are you up to?
So it's three of us, me, Lucas, and Jojo. We've all worked together in the past, and we formed this cool company that kind of just gives us a creative outlet. It's a pretty free flow kind of company. So if other cool entrepreneurs have ideas that we're interested in, we'll partner up with them. We build our own little side projects as well, and we kind of just experiment and see what sticks. Currently, we're building for fun this plant wiki. So you can check it out at plants.tenfactory.com.
Oh, you know what? Actually, Sharon, another Crypto Creamer. Sharon actually sent it to me, and I was playing around with it. That was really cool how you plugged in the APIs. That was awesome.
Yeah, we have this whole like plant Wikipedia database that we're hooked into called Treffle. So we're kind of just building that for fun right now. On a more serious note, we're building this sports card marketplace called Pullwax and partnering up with a friend of mine, Mike, to do that. That industry is taking off right now. So that's basically the opportunity we're capturing there. And yeah, always looking up crypto things like that, staking, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty open.
Cool. So it's just you, Lucas, and Jojo, you guys decided to venture out. I remember I visited you. You were working at Blue Ocean.
Is that correct? It was called Blue Beta Company based out of Wynwood.
Okay, yeah. And then you guys decided to split. And then do you guys all work remote, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's fully remote. If we do meet, it's usually remote, but sometimes we'll gather. But yeah, I mean, since I was traveling for the last like year in Asia, I was doing that remotely as well. So I really don't see the need for an office unless it's to just have fun in other people's presence. But yeah,
absolutely. It's crazy how the world is changing in the sense that you don't need an office, because I do the same thing. I don't need an office, right? I could definitely work from home. I could work from anywhere. I travel a lot to the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, like all over the place for work-related stuff. And man, like, all you need is a laptop and an internet connection, and that's just changed fundamentally. That's really it. Yeah, it's just changed fundamentally how like people work and stuff. So very interesting.
Yeah, now with this whole COVID stuff going on, I think it's just getting accelerated, and people are realizing that the office wasn't as necessary for certain types of jobs. So
yeah, I got you. Yeah, yeah. I definitely think there's gonna be like a fundamental giant shift. I know Google isn't letting their workers back to the beginning of 2021. You know, it's something radical.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So dude, I saw the other day you posted in our Crypto Creamers chat, which is very exclusive. You guys have to be extremely good friends with one of us to get inside. You posted you were building a Bitcoin node. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
I'm not building a node. It was just something I'm interested in.
Tell us.
And I'm still trying to figure out the pros and cons of a node and if I really need one. Like, if you're just buying Bitcoin in 2012 or something and you're holding it, is there really a need for a node? So I'm focusing more on like the actual value prop on why somebody should have a node. And it's pretty stressed in the whole like Bitcoin space. But I did build something for fun one weekend called Bitcoin Is Us. So the actual URL is bitcoinis.us. And I'm basically trying to find the best value prop as to why people should have Bitcoin. And it's a tough question because it really depends who your audience is. And I think the answer varies. So I'm really looking more so as a mass adoption kind of educational way to get people to understand Bitcoin. Yeah, that's it. Gosh. Don't judge it. It's only one weekend's worth of work.
Man, so talk to us a little bit about, you know, like about what this is for. You know, like what's the purpose of this website? It says highlighting the community's best explanation for Bitcoin. So is it an educational? I love this. It has all the quotes of some of the biggest influencers. Oh, you got Sharon.
Yeah,
you got Sharon.
He made an appearance. I need your answer. You need to fill it out on there.
Oof. I don't know. I'm a little insulted. I'm just kidding. But so that's really cool, man. So you just kind of built this as kind of like a side project.
Yeah, it's just something I thought of one weekend, and I was like, you know what? Let me just like put something together and let it have life on the internet. And then if people actually see interest in it, I'll expand on it. But I just love talking about Bitcoin, explaining it to people, and I have a hard time having other people get confused when you're talking to them or they kind of just dismiss it. And it's a little unfair. I kind of like think of it of how I was when I first heard about Bitcoin, you know, in 2013 or so. I heard about mining, and it's just like way too confusing when you're first learning about Bitcoin. And if you don't understand it, it's easy to dismiss. And I'm just like more so reflecting on my journey and understanding Bitcoin. So absolutely. Later on in 2014, at the end of 2014, I joined the local Miami Bitcoin Hackathon. It's put on by this company called Bitstop. These guys are a local Bitcoin company. They actually have Bitcoin ATMs. That's their focus. And I was in that hackathon more so just because I was learning software development. So I was in that whole environment, and they were launching that hackathon in the same like school that I was learning at, in the same location. And even there, I was still having a hard time understanding what Bitcoin was. Like, people were talking about mempools and things like that. And for people that don't understand what Bitcoin is, it's just like way too much information and like way too much new terminology. So I think like the real value prop that clicked for me when it comes to understanding Bitcoin was more the approach on like the history of money and how it's a peer-to-peer protocol and things like that. And when you learn more about like how money is created by governments and things like that, then I kind of had a better understanding on the power of it and things like that. Just then you learn more about blockchain technology and things like that. So
Absolutely.
This is more so like just trying to find a way to explain Bitcoin easier to people.
And you're totally right when you say it takes some time for us to find that aha moment, you know. So absolutely, you know. And I was doing a podcast with a buddy of mine. His name is Keep It Simple Bitcoin, and we were talking basically about how Bitcoin means different things to different people. And basically, like in the West, we might see it as some type of financial investment, but someone in Venezuela or someone in Argentina might see it kind of like an economical lifeboat, you know? So, because usually before Bitcoin was invented, their countries would hold them financially hostage, right? If it was a dictator, they would just, you know, they would just.
Yeah, exactly. So those value props change based on who you're speaking to. And obviously, when you talk about oppressed governments, people that are oppressed by governments in Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Lebanon, where their currencies are crashing, I mean, these are alternatives, and they're not controlled by anyone. And if they are, it's very difficult to be.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's cool that it for the first time in human history, just to add on to your point, people have an alternative, right?
Exactly. Like
before they did not, before they had to hoard gold, which is a terrible store of value. It's a terrible way to store wealth. Why? Because it's heavy as fuck. You know what I'm saying? And with Bitcoin, you could cross a border with 24 words up your ass if you want. Doesn't fucking matter. And or in your head, right? You could take that risk, right? And memorize them. And you know, that mnemonic phrase could have the private keys access to like hundreds of millions of dollars, right? So it completely changes the game. You could just pick up your wealth. I was listening to a podcast from Tales from the Crypt. Name is VJ, and he was basically describing his story on how his dad had to leave from India to another country, and he basically sold all his family's wealth to gold, and he literally had to get on a plane with all his family's worth of wealth in gold and travel to the UK with that on you, you know? And imagine
it's extremely difficult to do. I mean, also my grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, and I've heard scenarios where you talk about Jewish people in Europe that had their assets taken from them. And if you could just remember 24 words and cross a border and store your wealth in something like that, we're talking something completely life-changing. So there's huge potential in stuff like this. I mean, not only you physically crossing borders, but just being able to send money overseas in a matter of hours versus going through all these clearing houses and banks that have to take fees, and it could take days for your money to get somewhere, you know? So
exactly. And you don't know where it is. It's in like cyberspace. I send a wire confirmation. Don't know where it is. Call the bank. We don't know, you know, just wait, wait five business days, which in reality really means a week. Right.
Or you hear stories of Western Union as like the only way to send international wires. And apparently in some of these countries, there's people waiting outside these Western Unions looking to bully you once you do receive that money. So there's so many use cases of making people more free.
Absolutely. And that's just what Bitcoin, the essence of Bitcoin is. And I think that a lot of people don't understand that concept of Bitcoin. And then me and Ivan kind of went at it yesterday, which is basically like, it's immutable, right? Like it, you can't, even if a government wanted to change it, at the end of the day, I'm gonna segue back into the node argument, right? Because you were basically saying like why are nodes important, right? And I kind of wanted to answer that right off the rip, but you know we were flowing in another direction in the conversation. And with Bitcoin, you can't do that. And a great example of that is the Bitcoin Cash fork, right? So the Bitcoin Cash fork was a big deal. It was a huge deal. Why was it a big deal? Because it was the biggest mining conglomerates in the world, Bitmain, right? Which made the majority of the Bitcoin mining equipment. Now it's a little bit different. And they're like, hey, let's make the block size bigger so we have bigger fees. And Jihan Woon, which is the CEO of Bitmain, teamed up with Roger Ver, fuck him, the creator of Bitcoin Cash. And dude, they decided to make Bitcoin Cash. And then all of a sudden, guess what? the nodes, the people didn't decide to update to the Bitcoin Cash software. So what happened, right? The Bitcoin hash rate kept increasing, which in my opinion, that's what gives Bitcoin value is the hash rate, because the physical amount of hardware actually backing up the network, right? But if you look at the Bitcoin Cash hash rate, it's remained the same, right? So there's a clear winner there. And my point is, you know, when you mentioned earlier, you know, like you didn't understand the value proposition of running your own node. For example, I don't make any money running my own node, but I've built and I have in my home at least four that are just running. Yeah. You know, I only really connect to one through Electrum, right? But man, the reason that I run my own node is because I know that I have a copy of the blockchain that I'm comparing to other people's copy of the blockchain. So if someone wants to send me money, I know that I'm actually receiving it, right? Rather than relying on someone else's node to do that verification process for you. So if you hold a lot of Bitcoin, you absolutely have to run your own node, because it's you're trusting someone else. It ruins the
whole just think there's happen. There should be easier solutions on actually running it. I think there's just way too many complications for the average person to be able to run a node. So there's still so much stuff being built out that I think there's still a long ways to go from everyone having a node in their house or things like that.
Absolutely. So I kind of want to show you some good examples of what's on the market today, because you're going to have kind of like an idea of what's going on in the future. And I wish I could share a picture of, you know what, that's going to take too much time, but basically
you'll share some links, right?
Yes, I will. So give me one second and let me do, where is it? It's right here. Okay. Awesome. Okay. So this is my node. It's one of the most famous. And dude, it's super easy. You could buy it pre-built. It's very ugly, right? A buddy of mine, he makes the housings. He was also on the podcast. And he makes the housings for these things, bro. And you know, it's really here, let me show you housing shop. So, you know, and you could basically put a Raspberry Pi 4 with a preloaded open source software, and you could install it, and you could make your node look nice as fuck. And this whole cost is like $250, $200. If you want it pre-built, it's going to cost you like $300. So let me show you a little bit of the software itself. Where is the node? Crypto right here. Copy. Oh my God. I closed it so it doesn't keep the copy. What a noob mistake. So if you look at the actual operating system, I mean like the actual the UX, right? Or the user interface, dude, it's tremendous progress, you know, compared to where we were before. While this loads, yeah, there we go, right? And it has a bunch of different functionalities, right? You have Caravan, which enables multi-sig. You have Bitcoin Pay Server. I'm sure you know what that is. It runs over Tor. They have, you know, upgrades every so often. And it runs Bitcoin Core, runs Lightning, you know? So, and this is all super easy to build. Or you could buy pre-built. Or you could buy a custom case and make it look cool. You know, so there are solutions that are coming on the market, you know, that's just a matter of time. So the reason that I asked you earlier, cause I saw that you built your own node in the Miami hackathon, because what I saw in the iOS the user interface that you had was actually really fucking cool.
Yeah. So we didn't actually build a node. We built some like interface that goes on top of the node. And that was more, I built it with a buddy of mine, Liran. He's a huge Bitcoin guy. And he's actually here in Miami. I should put you in touch with him. But I'm kind of trying to think of like applications that can be built on top of the node. So you kind of have multiple uses for it. So yeah. I'm thinking like the modern safe for your house. And I built this like smart home kind of application on it where you can manage other parts of your house in there, your bills, your passwords, things like that.
Yeah, so we'll talk off the air a little bit about basically what I'm kind of what I'm thinking in that process. And I actually have a buddy of mine, which I had on the podcast a couple days ago, who's also heading in that direction. But based on what you told me, that is being evolved, that's being developed as we speak. So Isaac, I definitely want to get into my favorite part of the podcast, which is basically, I don't know, you kind of deleted your Twitter, you put it into kind of like lists, right?
Yeah, well, I'm actually like off social media pretty much at the moment. I don't know why during this whole quarantine, I'm just like taking a break from it. It's more enjoyable while I'm traveling, so I can like share experiences. So right now, not so much on Twitter or Instagram or any of that.
Oh, okay. So you don't know about Plan B, I'm assuming.
No, I know Plan B. Yeah, he did the stock to flow model, right?
Exactly, exactly. He did the stock to flow. And
yeah, I'm still familiar with all the Twitter personalities and everyone.
Okay, okay. So I always ask everybody, do you believe in the 288K between 2020 and 2024, the next halving?
I mean, I'm always trying to be conservative. So 228K per Bitcoin sounds ambitious, but it's definitely not. It wouldn't surprise me if it does happen. But I mean, in terms of financial investments, when something makes a 20x like that or 30x, it's pretty insane. So, and obviously these things happen in crypto. So I don't want to set my expectations that high. So it's possible. Do I think it will get that high? I'd be happy to see it at 100k. Honestly, that's what I think the next big step is. But we have to pass 20K, 50K, et cetera, to get there. So I think once the momentum happens, then it can absolutely get there pretty fast. I mean, it went from
absolutely
6K to 20K in a matter of 3 weeks, the last bull run. So these moves are pretty sudden.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, dude, it's just it, but I feel it. I feel like the hash rate is at an all-time high, you know. It just, you see the market, you see how the price of Bitcoin beat that $10,500 resistance, you know, so it's perfectly getting set up to, you know, to make that push, right? So, you know, before we end the podcast, does 10 Factory have any, which is associated with the Crypto Creamers, does 10 Factory have any future plans? Do you guys have anything that you're working on for the future? Do you have a roadmap that you want to promote, that you want to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, we just launched our newly designed website, 10factory.com. But as I mentioned before, we're building a sports card marketplace right now called Pullwax. Mm-hmm. So that's basically our focus at the moment, and hopefully we'll launch that by this year.
Okay, and what? So and I'm assuming a client paid for that.
It's a partner. We're partnering with somebody.
And this is a new website. Is this correct?
Yeah, and we got could check the toggle dark mode, light mode.
Oh, where is it? Okay, here we go. Oh, look at that. Look at you.
Yeah.
So if someone wanted to hire you guys as developers, what qualifications do you guys have? Like, or what experience?
It's got to be an idea that we see is interesting. It's unique. There's a niche that we can attack. And
no, but what are my question would be, what are your limitations?
No, I mean, there's no limitations. Obviously, we want to keep things as much as a software product as possible and avoid physical logistics. So there's not much limits technically. I mean, Jojo, Lucas, my partners, they're beasts when it comes to development. So there's not much that we can't build, I would say.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, and second to last question. What is your target for the end of 2021 Bitcoin price?
Oh, I'm going to keep it conservative. I do think 100K is going to happen, but I won't set my expectations that high. I'll say 50K.
50K. Okay.
What about you?
100K plus.
100K plus, yeah. 2021.
It's just because I mine for a living. So I kind of understand that it's the significance of the hash rate. And the hash rate's at an all-time high even after the halving, which means that miners, which is a very capital intensive industry, are basically expecting a price pump. And if you look at historically speaking, basically if the after the halving, if the hash rate remains the same or increases, there's usually an increase in Bitcoin following that. And that brings us to the last question, Isaac. This is the Crypto Creamers, and we ask all our guests this question, no matter who they are. What is your favorite ice cream flavor, my friend?
Oh, well, everyone that knows me knows I'm a huge ice cream person. Big fan. I try to eat it after every meal, but not right now. But I would say my favorite ice cream, I'm going to go international here. When I was in Japan, I went to Hokkaido, which is in the northern island, and they're the dairy, the like largest dairy producers of Japan there, and they have a really good ice cream. So there's one spot in Sapporo called Kinotoya Bake, and it's the best. They call it soft cream, and it's milk flavor, but that's my favorite.
So what's it, so what's the name? What's the actual name? Like, what could you pronounce it?
The ice cream is just soft cream, but the place that sells it is called Kinotoya Bake.
Kinotoya Bake, and yeah. It's in Sapporo, you said, right?
I'm going to have to show a picture. Maybe I can find one real quick. Yeah, I love ice cream. Well, also, we are called the Crypto Creamers at one point.
After all, so you like gelato as well.
Love gelato. I lived in Rome at one point about like 7 or 8 years ago, and I was eating gelato after every meal. So that was a good time.
It's awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
so
check this out.
Let me see. Oh my God, look at that. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That is literally, it's crazy because the best
I found the world's best ice cream.
The best ice cream comes from the Crypto Creamers, bro. We know what's best. That's why we're called the Crypto Creamers, because we literally have the best ice cream. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Isaac, thank you so much for coming. If you guys want to find out more about 10 Factory, I'm going to link it down in the description. Also going to link down their social media. And if Isaac wants to reveal his secret about the most amazing ice cream in the world,
I have a lot of ice cream tips.
I'll also link that down in the description. All right, guys, thank you, and tune into the next one. See you later.